Our gospel passage this morning is from Luke's gospel, and one that is challenging on so many levels, but I think a good one for discussion. This from chapter 16. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all of this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from the other side to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, this gospel passage is either a nightmare or a preacher's dream, depending on how you look at it. But I'd like to hear what you all have to offer this morning, knowing that time is getting on. But let us, anyone want to speak? We do this way because it's recorded.
What I'm saying here, and the way I'm interpreting it, is we all have a conscience, and that we were brought up with, and when we leave here, there's something that's instilled in us to remind us. We shouldn't have to rely on someone else to remind us to be good. You have a conscience and you have a heart, and if you follow your heart and your conscience, you don't need to be reminded.
So the first thing that comes to me is that how we live makes a difference. And the second thing that comes to me is that we can't always be prodded by the appearance of angels and great things in order to access what Tony was talking about, you know, this deeper knowing of what it means to care for the world, to be of service to the world and to each other, even to our own self. The truth to our own self, to live well with kindness and compassion. You know, it's the idea of hell and that sense of that whole thing. I don't know where I land with that, but I certainly do understand that there's something happens inside us when we follow the proddings of the heart. It makes a difference.
Anyone else? Yes, firm. The challenge of this gospel is deep. What's on the surface may not necessarily be what's there. Here you go, friend.
Backing on what Leslie just said, so often I don't want to do something, and then something comes over me, and I do it, and it's no big deal. And to me, that's God speaking to me. Also, when I first read this, what I thought about is ego. The rich man, and even us, we're so caught up in our lives, we don't always spend enough time thinking where we could be of help.
Thank you, Fern. Anyone else? No? Here's your big chance. Yes, Greg.
Besides the parts that are right in your face, basically, if you don't take care of each other, there is a payment that you will have to make for that. Is this chasm, besides all of this, between you and us, is a great chasm that has been fixed so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us. Not taking care of someone is one thing. But creating a barrier to keep somebody down and in place is a far worse sin.
Oh, very good. Yes, dear. Now comes the truth.
All of that was very good and very quite obvious. What bothers me is the way we think today that, you know, no matter what we do or how we do it, we go to heaven. That we have a very loving God that forgives everything. And that causes pause to say, you know, this is the gospel. How does that fit into what we hear very often you preach, that God can forgive anything. You know, just go to him. Or not even. That we're all good people, and there's goodness in all of us, and there is. But sometimes it's lost, and when it is, you tell me what happens. I'm his wife, so I could get away with a lot, you know.
It's not fair, really. Oh, goodness, anyone else? Yes, David.
I just want to see you get a workout this morning.
That's good. I'm working off my Cheerios.
When Abraham spoke at the end, and he said, but if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, then we'll listen to someone rising from the dead. So he was actually foretelling what would happen with Jesus. And in the 2,000 years since Jesus, we still see the inhumanity of man towards man. And I just spoke to Lenny Assert, our first selectman, and we all know Lenny, and Lenny is pretty black and white. He's a civil engineer by trade. He's a farmer. And when they went on vacation, he and Tess were on vacation with some other folks, and part of the vacation took them through Germany. And they went on a tour of it wasn't a gas chamber, but it was a place where a lot of the Jews were held and murdered. And for Lenny to say, he looked me in the eye and he said, I just cannot understand the inhumanity of man, to other men. And I think we've got an exclamation point on some of the things we've seen just in this past week. And some of the things that are going on in this fall, the day that I'm looking forward to the most right now is November 9th, the day after the election when it's over. But I find that what Abraham said at the end of this is really an indictment on all of the things that have happened over the thousands of years.
Thank you, David. Thank you. As I said, there's a lot of sermons in here. The fact that we can take each one of those statements and do one a week, because we can do that. We can do anything we want. That's right. That's the nice thing about church. You can do whatever you want. Just a quick thought. There's so many different ways of looking at this, but if you look at it biblically, remember that the Bible was written after Jesus, not the Bible, the New Testament, the Gospels were written long after Jesus had died, by which point, the church had come into existence, and so the church structure appears more strongly than sometimes Jesus' words. Jesus may have used this example, this parable, as an example for addressing some of the disparities in the culture of his time, because remember, they're under Roman occupation, and if you weren't Roman or affiliated with the Romans, you lived in abject poverty. There was no middle class. There was nothing in the middle. It was one or the other. Jesus came from the lower class. And as a lower class Jew committed to the temple, etc., he was a Jew, you know, he wasn't a Christian. He was a Jew until he died. He became a Christian after the church came into being. He was a Jew. And as a good Jew, he spoke out against the injustice, the gross injustice that was going on in his time, and he peppered it with examples from the Old Testament, which is where the Jews draw a lot of their life. And if you read the Old Testament, you'll see stories like this, where there's a disparity in culture, there's a disparity between good and evil. It's black and white, and the good people get rewarded, and the bad people get punished. And that was so much a part of the fabric of their belief system that if somebody got ill, they were being punished for something they did. And the more serious the illness, the worse the sin you did, which is the point of the book of Job. They finally figured it out. Well, that's not necessarily true, because bad things happened to good people back then, too. But this is an illustration drawn from the Old Testament, which speaks to the heart of Judaic thinking, that there is a difference between good and evil, and all of you are right when you talk about the neighbor. I think the point of this gospel story is very simple, but one that screams for attention in our world today. Beside the disparity in the cultures, disparity in economics, the disparities of politics, all the differences that we have among ourselves, the race riots, the people who are fighting the police, just read the paper, watch the news for 10 minutes, and you have a list of how we have developed a culture that is based on disparity, that you are either with me or you are not, that you either agree with me or there's something wrong with you. If I don't like you, I demonize you, however that may take place. If it's in words, if it's labels, if it's on Facebook or Twitter or whatever else they use to make messages back and forth, we do that to each other. Not only do we do that, we pay people big money to do that to each other, and we call it comedy. I don't watch sitcoms. I gave them up years ago because it's all based, if you pull back, it's based on somehow putting somebody else down for a laugh or making yourself stupid so people will laugh. Demeaning yourself or demeaning someone else is not what this is about. But you see, we are so cultured to it. It is so much a part of the fabric of our thinking that we do it automatically. I catch myself doing it sometimes, and it kills me. The truth is, and it was said beautifully yesterday, if you read the paper this morning, there's an article about the festival they had, the National International Festival they had in Waterbury yesterday. If you've been to downtown Waterbury, I don't know if any of you ever go there, but if you go down their Grand Street, there's a one on the town hall, the city hall. There are flags of all the nations on one side, and on the Chase Building across the way, there's another totality of flags. There are over 40 nations presently living in Waterbury, 40 different ethnic groups from all over the world. And they came together yesterday in their second or third annual Festival of Nations. Over 4,000 people showed up there. They had, it said, the paper said 165 bands. I can't imagine that there'd be that many bands in the state. But anyway, that might have been a typo. It was either 16 or 65, or maybe 5. But anyway, 165 bands were there. And all these people, they had food from every nation. They had clothing and all these different ethnic expressions. And somebody summarized it at the very end of the article and said very simply, this was nothing about our difference. This was about all of us being one people. And that's what's gotten lost. We are no longer one people. We like our prejudices. We like our divisions. We like keeping people at hands off. A friend of mine has a poverty store, a soup kitchen, runs a soup kitchen next to a Walmart in his parish. And every day he goes out there and he's reminded of Lazarus sitting at the outside of the gate. Not necessarily starving, but being ignored. Have you ever driven by somebody on the side of the road saying, I'll work for money? I have. We have so many obvious signs that there's something very ill at the root of our culture. It didn't seem to be there when I was growing up. The world was much smaller then, of course. We didn't know a lot of things going on, and the media wasn't as vast as it is. But there was a heart. There was a soul back then that encouraged people to take care of each other, even if that meant laying down their lives in a war struggle to keep away the evil that existed at the time. But there was a caring. You could walk through your neighborhood without worrying about being shot. You could go to a concert without worrying about a machine gun showing up. You could go anywhere. You didn't have to worry about a bomb going off. My grandson's in Belgium for college for the next semester. One of the things I told him before, Louise and I were talking to him, we said, wherever you go, whenever you get there, make sure you know where the exit is and where you can duck. Gone are the days of just go and have a wonderful time. It's serious times. There's no easy solution to any of this, but to not face the reality of what this gospel is talking about is to put our heads in the sand. That's not in any way an indictment of any of us. We're all in this together. We celebrate here that we are all the same. We're people of every nation and we are all one. That's our motto here. And everybody finds a welcome here. But what it does to our heart, that's what the question is. And this little guy who now is sound asleep, lucky him. And this little guy is depending on us to somehow make a difference. And that's all I have to say. It's just a thought, but I think a good one. Amen.